And the HSE is publishing its winter plan this morning as it tries to get a handle on the overcrowding crisis in hospitals right across this country. The plan focuses on extra beds, faster discharges from hospitals, more supports for care at home, and increased access to Fair Deal nursing home places. Well, on the line now is Philney Hay, General Secretary of the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation, and Emily O'Connor, who's President of the Irish Association for Emergency Medicine. Good morning to both of you. Thanks for joining us. Phil, to you first. This new plan, it's only being launched this morning, but from what you've heard so far, are there many new ideas here?
Well, no, I think we all know what the problems are. We need additional capacity and we need additional beds, both in the acute service and in the step-down areas and in long-term care. We also need extra supports to maintain people in their own homes when that is the right decision at that time. Unfortunately, we need staff to provide all of those services. And the HSE introduced a pause, which is the unfortunate piece, because they introduced a pause on recruitment in May of this year, which means that any work that could have been done up to now was prevented because of the inability to recruit and the prevention of recruitment. The system is absolutely bureaucratically a minefield. Our nurse managers tell us, for example, that they have submitted requests to fill posts that have become vacant normally through resignation, retirement and the rest, and they're waiting 4 and 5 months to get a response. And in some instances, the response is, you can't fill. So when you hear an announcement like the one today, it is correct. We need to open more beds. We need to ensure that the acute hospitals that are overcrowded now at a level that is unprecedented, both the emergency departments and the wards, with a decreasing pool of staff.
Okay.
And we're only in November.
Phil, were you and your members consulted, by the way, on, I suppose, any solutions you could bring to the ongoing problems?
Well, we're constantly putting forward solutions. We have made submissions to the HSE. We met with the HSE on Tuesday of this week. We again called for a relaxation of this pause, particularly in nursing and midwifery, because every bed that opens requires a nurse in care of the elderly. In long-term care, it's increasingly difficult to recruit nurses to work in those locations. And a pause just makes no sense. It actually shoots the system in the foot. And we're battling with the UK now being very, very aggressive in their recruitment of Irish trained nurses and nurses with experience of working in Ireland, because they have seen a huge drop in nurses coming from Europe.
Okay, Phil, so just to hear you, put simply, you're saying if you can't recruit more nurses, it doesn't matter what's in this plan, it's not going to improve the situation.
You're not going to be able to open additional beds.
Okay. Emily O'Connor, to go to you, I mean, what's your feeling about this? Do more nurses need to be recruited if we're going to see any significant changes in the problems we've witnessed in previous years?
So first of all, Miriam, I hear your heart sink, and I hear the heart sink of the nation that we are here again. And I share Phil's disappointment that here we are in November. This needs a solution. All round the year, we are over capacity for beds and for staff all year round. And we go into the winter absolutely stretched. And then there is no surprise when the bit of extra workload and healthcare needs over the winter puts us into further crisis. So absolutely, yes, agreed, Phil. We do need nurses. We need staff. We need the whole multidisciplinary team when we're opening up beds. It's really disappointing. We've spent 20 years saying that we need more bed capacity, and it's taken a long time to get the reports over the line to say we do need it, and we need thousands of extra beds. There have been a few hundred put into the system, and they are so welcome. But if I have no doubt that if there was political will, and if the public ensured there was political will to maintain healthcare access as a priority nationally all year round in this country, we could improve.
Okay,
things,
Emily,
and
let
we
me
wouldn't
come
have to come on every year to heart sink of trying to get this.
Okay,
better.
And I hear you, and I know you work in an emergency department, so you are one of these people at the front line. But
yes,
down the years, also, we all know, Emily, that there is a strong feeling that staff also need to change and be more flexible. I mean, there's a greater willingness surely needed to work at weekends. I know emergency departments work, but apart from that, a lot of consultants don't work at weekends.
The healthcare system was set up to largely work office hours, and in generations gone by,
before.
That was plenty.
Yeah.
But we have never intrinsically undone that. So the mass majority of work does happen in hours, but we're looking at now healthcare needs that happen. I'm going into a long late shift this evening and overnight, and patients are coming in 24/7, and we are absolutely not staffed the same way out of hours and at weekends.
So there does need to be greater flexibility, Emily, from everybody.
Absolutely.
Yes.
There needs to be more people and more flexibility. You're absolutely going to get no disagreements.
Would you agree with that in terms of nursing?
Well, nursing span the 24 roster, 24 hours, 365 days a year. And we also provide a service called a community intervention team in the community that does exactly that as well. And it has proven to reduce the attendance at hospital, and it has proven to be very helpful in keeping people out of a hospital when they can be cared for at home and that service is provided. The problem is we have very few of those teams because investment hasn't been made in to ensure that they're available around acute hospitals where they should be.
And in terms of figures on trolleys, I mean, we've already had figures of more than 679 patients on trolleys in early November. Emily, you work in an emergency department. How bad could it get? Spell it out.
It could get very bad. We could get in 700s, 800s. If we're not going to, you know, this could be a very bad winter. Some of it's going to depend on what comes at us this winter. But some of it is, you know, we're already in almost at 700. And I know probably the next time I'm going to be talking to someone on the media is when we have reached a new breach, be it another 700, another 800. And you know, that's where we're going to be.
Phil, in terms from your point of view and trolley numbers, I mean, and we haven't even had a full outbreak of influenza so far this year. And we're still looking at 679 patients waiting on beds in November.
Absolutely. And I mean, Emily will know as well, because when people hear trolley numbers, they don't, I suppose, all of the time connect that up with what that means. What that means is you have a huge risk of cross-infection. You have an overcrowded area, not just in the ED, but also on wards. We regularly now have 4 to 5 beds, patients on trolleys on wards, overcrowded wards. That is probably very, very susceptible to cross-infection. And also, we now have an indication from the Population Health Department of the HSE that their information is that the flu will come this year, it will come later, and it will affect the younger age groups to a greater extent. We have started counting children on trolleys, under 16s on trolleys, and that was something that didn't appear in our numbers up to 2 years ago. So since 2015, we've been counting children because now it is a feature of our hospitals. We now have an undercapacity for the under 16 age group as well.
And Phil, one of our listeners, Donal, says, Miriam, the INMO have for years blocked and refused to allow theatre assistants' role in Irish theatres. This role is common all over the world as it increases productivity in theatres, resulting in freeing up beds. A bit rich of the INMO to say they are concerned about overcrowding. What would you say to that?
I'd say that's absolute. That is a rhetoric that has absolutely no truth. The bottom line is theatre nurses are at work every single day. Theatre space is not being used because our beds are full of patients coming in through ED.
But do you allow theatre assistants, Phil, in Irish theatres?
We work with healthcare assistants in theatres. We are currently involved with the HSE in with the assistance of the WRC trying to get a handle on what the numbers we need, what the correct mix is. The bottom line is theatres and the on-call ratio in theatre is predominantly done, and the work is predominantly done by nurses. They work their 39-hour week, plus they provide an on-call service. And to be honest, I think they're to be commended for that. They work their own shift, 39 hours every week, and they provide on-call. And in smaller hospitals, that requires them to provide on-call 3 and 4 nights a week, which I don't think any other worker in the country is doing, frankly.
Okay, Emily O'Connor, in terms, later on in today's programme, funny enough, we're looking at the issue of GP shortages. Do you think GP shortages, that's impacting also in the number of people who are turning up at departments like yours and Connolly seeking medical assistance?
Yeah, so this the increase in numbers is there is definitely patients coming in who either can't get on, can't get a GP appointment, can't get on a GP list, or their GPs have tried to gain them access by other means to the health service, but they can't get them in. So we're increasingly seeing patients who need access to be a diagnostics or specialist, and because the only port of call that they can get in through is through an emergency department. Now, we, seeing the decision-making on the floor, we do sort out a lot of those patients within the ED. Only a quarter of patients go on to need an inpatient bed. But there is now a new phenomenon of us having to admit patients because it's the only way to get the specialist assessment they need, because waiting times for public outpatients are so appallingly long.
And Emily, we mentioned earlier working at weekends and the problem that that is for many hospitals. But as part of this winter plan, the HSE is looking at weekend discharges. And I guess that is central, isn't it? It's a central problem, our health service, because as we said earlier, most doctors and most diagnostic staff, apart from those based in departments like emergency departments, they don't work weekends. And it does slow system down.
They do work weekends, but similar to what Phil has just described about the nurses, they're working it on top of the normal working week. So basically, there is always on-call staff or access on-call, and there's an awful lot of heroics done to keep the service done, adding out at nights and at weekends. What we want, what doctors are, and we've just come out of a conference talking to our younger colleagues, they want a livable life. They don't want to have to live the rest of their lives performing heroics to keep a health service going. They want to be, whether it's weekends, whether it's evenings, whether it's day-to-day, there needs to be enough of us that we can, you know, deliver that service every day of the week. But it can't be simply that you're doing your full working week and then on top of that you're trying to deliver the same at the weekend. We need to restructure, and there needs to be enough of us to deliver it at 7 days a week.
Phil, presumably there are some measures here you welcome. I mean, the 26 million in extra funding, the greater access to Fair Deal nursing home places, and the increased home support hours, which should mean hopefully more efficient discharges from acute hospitals.
Of course, we know that we need additional capacity outside of the acute hospitals. That doesn't take away the need, as Emily has said earlier, for more beds in the acute hospitals. However, the problem is, unless you can get staff, you won't be able to open the beds. And the pause that was introduced last May is preventing recruitment. Therefore, that has to be released, and nursing and midwifery have to be exempt from it in order to ensure that we can open these beds.
I just want to bring a reaction to one of our residents says, Miriam, I cannot see nurses returning to Ireland considering the conditions. I've got a daughter nursing in Australia for the last 2 years. Fantastic working conditions with great respect for Irish nurses. That seems to remain the key issue. We began, we finish on, Phil Ni Hay. You need more nurses.
Absolutely. More nurses, more midwives. The numbers, we know that we have 400 fewer nurses and midwives working in Ireland today than we had in December 2018. That's not good enough. We have a busier system, we have sicker patients attending hospitals, and we have to ensure we have the correct staff. That is what the country designed the health service to deliver and what Sláintecare's aspirations are based upon. Access to your health service when you need it. That can only happen with adequate, sufficient numbers of staff to staff it.
And finally to you, Dr. Emily O'Connor, as you head back in to work in an emergency department, if you were Simon Harris, if you were the Minister of Health, you're there at the front line, give me a measure that you think would make a significant difference to the overcrowding and the difficulties you face.
Bed capacity, adequate staffing, both in emergency departments and nursing on wards and diagnostics. And we have targets. We have a six-hour target. We only get it 60% of the time. So if we actually met our targets and weren't so, we're so under it that we can't see any improvement. If there was political will, we could make this happen.
Okay. Well, look, Emily O'Connor, Phil Ni Hay, thank you both very much for joining us this morning.
Today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.